So welcome back to another episode of Blockchain Boys. I'm MPE3 here, as always, with my host, Jonathan Henson, a.k.a. the NFT Hook. And we are joined by one of my best friends, not only one of the best shooters currently in the NBA, but
Settle down a little bit, man. We got some people out in the Bay Area that are doing just fine for themselves. Let's settle down.
hey, you know, that's a, you know, another conversation, but, you know, more importantly, Duncan was also, you know, my teammate, at Phillips Exeter Academy, and, you know, couldn't be more happy about his success and, happy to talk some NFTs. So without further ado, Duncan Robinson,
ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate you guys having me on. I'm a long time listener, first time caller, big fan of the Blockchain Boys, everything you guys are doing. Excited to collab and do a little episode together for sure.
I will say one of the more ingrained shooting performances I've ever seen in my life, I swear to God, was when we played you guys in Miami when I was at the Cavs. I remember, I don't know if you might have hit 7 threes in the first half.
I think it was 8.
It was 8? It was a record. It was some type of record. And I remember going into halftime and coach was like, guys, do we think you can shoot now? And that was one of the more funnier moments in my career, man. So, hey, man, nice to finally meet you for me,
sure.
Man.
It's funny, man. Coming, that was, man. You know, that one was a little bit personal. You know, your coach at the time was John Beilein, who I played for in college. And, you know, I'd had so many experiences with him as a coach. And then to be matched up against him at the next level. And obviously, you know, we're two pretty competitive people. I had a little just additional motivation, a little additional chip on my shoulder for that one.
Makes sense. I have a chip on my shoulder about him as well that I haven't been able to handle. So maybe I'll go to his house and cut his hydrangeas.
I've heard all the Coach Beilein stories, man. He's always got some.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm going to go to his house and cut down all his hydrangeas. That'll be my get back. There you go, man. So, all right. No, the next subject, though. we probably talk for hours, honestly. But
I was going to say, we could talk basketball a day. I think, you know, me and Duncan have definitely done it before throughout the years. But, you know, we're an NFT podcast, right. Crypto podcast. So, you know, let's talk some NFTs. So, you know, first, you know, just looking at your, you know, Twitter profile picture for, you know, about the last month now, you know, I know you're a big supporter of Dapper Labs and everything they're doing throughout Top Shot. And, you know, speaking of PFP, it's the Ballers NFT, which, you know, we were talking a little bit to Harrison Barnes about when he was on. But just talk to us about, you know, how you first got introduced to, you know, Top Shot and I guess just NFTs in general and kind of how that led you to become a part of the Ballers NFT community.
You know, starting out, it was more just curiosity than anything. And I'm kind of reserved in the fact that, like, as soon as I find something, I don't like to just, like, jump into it. But instead, I kind of try to do my due diligence and find an entry point that makes sense for me. And you know, Max, you and I have talked about NFTs a lot and a lot of different projects. And for me, it was always kind of difficult to really wrap my mind around these different projects, just because I didn't necessarily know the genesis of them or kind of where they were coming from or the community that they had established. What kind of made the point of entry seamless with the Top Shot stuff is, you know, a lot of my counterparts at the time and teammates and stuff were already kind of getting involved in Top Shot. Andre Godal was a teammate of mine at the time, and he had a relationship with the CEO of Dapper Labs, and he was kind of he was an early investor in Dapper Labs, actually. And kind of put me on earlier and put us on an email chain, and we were just kind of going back and forth. And, you know, at the time, to be honest with you, I really didn't understand what an NFT was, what Top Shot was. Like, I think, like so many, it's been explained as just like a tradable card just in digital form. And, you know, I went through the same progression as anybody else. Like, all right, well, what's different than that in a YouTube clip or a JPEG, you know, all that sort of stuff. And then it ultimately just kind of took me more exposure. And the thing that jumped out to me the most about Top Shot was, like, not necessarily the craze, because it was just everywhere, but then more so the community, how like ingrained everybody was in the community, how people were like looking out for each other and kind of all in it together in a way. And, you know, when I kind of started to look at other NFT projects, that's when I came across Ballers. And there was a lot of carryover there from the Top Shot community. And also just being a basketball player, and that's my passion and what I love, it felt like an easy point of entry because it was like-minded individuals in the sense that they all love hoops. They love talking hoops. They love being around hoops. They love watching hoops. And for me, it was like, you know what? Like, first things first, I just bought up some Ballers. I bought like 5 or 6 of them, just kind of like very discreet and just kind of wanted to observe and be in the Discords and interact a little bit. And then as time went on, you know, I kind of wanted to like let everyone know that, you know, this is something that guys in the league are talking about, that guys in the league are buying, and just kind of engage in that way. And that's what I've done since. And I'm happy that I have because I made some really cool connections with some cool people. And, you know, I'm just excited about, you know, what continues to come my way and the community's way.
No, that's awesome. That was a great, you know, breakdown of, you know, how you got into it. And it's funny, you know, we had Harrison Barnes on last week, and, you know, he was talking about, you know, same thing, like, you know, these guys are, you know, always talking about it in the locker room. You know, it's on, you know, it's in the media, it's on the news, like people are talking about it. So, and you know, as well as anybody, it's a confusing world. You know, I was saying the other day, I think there's probably more, you know, scams out there for projects than there are like legitimate, you know, projects with like legit teams, which, you know, that's just kind of the nature we're in. But it's great that you were able to find these teams that have, you know, that are working hard and building something, and just, you know, becoming a part of that.
For sure. I mean, I'll also just say, going off of that, Max, is like, in my very basic early on research, I kind of, and this is something that I bounced off of you as well, it like kind of became clear that so many of the projects that you see that are upstarted, so many of them will likely go to zero. And I don't know exactly what percentage that is, you know, whether it's 85, 90, whatever you want to call it, right? So, is that what we got? All right, I like it, 96. So like with that being said, like I tried to wrap my mind around like, all right, whatever I'm putting my money towards, like let it be something that adds some sort of utility and value to what I'm doing. So instead of like, you can look at it in terms of an investment, I think it's worthwhile to do so, but you got to understand you're up against pretty steep odds if that's what you're going for. So like for me, it was like, that's why the Ballers community made sense, is like, you know what, I like this community. I like what they're about. I like engaging, and kind of it made sense at the time. And also it's like, you know what, I'm putting my money towards something that is in many ways like not only growing the community, but also like growing my engagement, growing my brand in a way. So it just seemed like a worthwhile investment, more so than just like, you know, the value of these things going up.
No, definitely. No, that's a perfect way to put it. And, you know, kind of the segue to, you know, my next topic is, you know, tweeted out, I believe today, as we're recording this Tuesday, you know, we got the Debo coin launching through Rally. So, you know, the community members who want to get, you know, better interaction and have that, you know, engagement with you, let's tell them a little bit about Debo.
I like the name too. Debo coin is catchy.
That's fine. I appreciate it. Yeah, man, you know, the Debo coin thing is something I've been, you know, thinking about, kicking around for a while now. It certainly wasn't any sort of knee jerk decision. It's something that I put a lot of thought into, and, you know, people in my corner as well that I've discussed with and been pretty meticulous with. So ultimately, like the way I look at it is it's just increased access and availability to me. And, you know, at this point in the game, I bought up a bunch of it. I'm just giving it out. It's not like a cash grab. It's not me trying to like get a buck or whatever. But more so just like I've found and, you know, we're coworkers in the sense that I also have a podcast myself. And, through my podcast, you know, I've developed a fan base, that honestly, I've been surprised with, in the sense that, you know, and John, I know you can speak to this, but like fans at the highest level in general are fickle. Like, you know, one day you're great. Next day you're the worst thing ever. And it's just like day to day. But what I found with my podcast is that I have people that tune in every week, and there is a core group of fans out there that actually like really ride with me, like and like, you know, interacting and engaging the content that I'm putting out and watching me play and like every part of it. So, you know, for me, Debo Coin was a way to essentially reward those people, like people that are really in my corner, more so than just following me on IG, more so than just tuning into a podcast. And, you know, it's all about access. It's all about utility. It's not a, necessarily a way for people to watch the price go up and cash out and make money. There is the opportunity for that, but really it's more so about like the more Debo Coin you hold, the more access you got. And we've already done some cool stuff. You know, the first people, you know, X amount of people that joined, we gave away a top shot of myself, all of them, series one, just gave it. That was the first thing we did for everybody that was holding the coin. We've already given away some tickets. We've done jersey giveaways. We're giving away a feature on the Long Shot podcast, so you get to come on and be a guest on the pod. We're doing a March Madness bracket nice. Right now, where the top three people, you know, get multiple different prizes. So it's just a way for like me to interact with these people that have invested, you know, their time, the most valuable asset of all, in me. So it's really just a way to repay, and I've enjoyed it. It's really the early stages, and I think the other cool thing about this too is like, it's going to be super fluid, you know, like the one thing about this space that I've quickly learned is it's ever changing and it's ever developing. So, you know, for me to just kind of have this at this point, it is what it is for now, but we're looking forward to growing it and seeing how it changes throughout the weeks and months and hopefully years.
That's dope.
I'll say that's pretty cool. And, you know, so speaking to, you know, getting access to you, do I now need to own Debo Coin to get you to answer my calls?
Yeah, I actually have a token gated FaceTime app. So in order for you to have my contact on FaceTime, you know, you got to have some Debo Coin. Nah.
Ooh.
Come on, man. So you know my lines.
Yeah.
My 10,000 Debo Coin. All right, 10,000 Debo Coin gets you an insurance. Hey,
my line's always open for you guys. Know, come on now. You already know what it is. Don't do that.
I'm just messing with you. No, I love that. And I love that, you know, you are, you know, open-minded enough to, you know, kind of see the value in, you know, these NFTs and crypto. And, you know, it, like I said before, it's a tough thing to wrap your head around. You know, I like to think myself as a somewhat smart human being, and it took me, you know, weeks and even months to, you know, completely wrap my head around even just blockchain technology
for sure,
in general. Very excited to, I need to get myself some Debo for sure.
I just tell people all the time, if you're not interested, if you don't know what's going on, you should try to at least understand, because I don't think the utility of NFTs and stuff is going away. Whether these projects go up or down, like, you know, NFT, that technology, right. Companies are adopting that technology. So if you don't understand it, you're probably going to get left behind, especially if you're in the business world and in the world of making money, which we all are, right? So that's kind of the advice I give people.
I think that, you know, as you mentioned, like, companies are being more and more bullish on integrating it into their, you know, different segments of their business. And like you said, it's definitely not going away. I'm curious. I want to ask you guys, because, you know, Max and I, we've talked a lot about different projects and stuff, but I think even since I've like really started to track and follow the space, I've seen it change and adapt so much. And I'm curious with you guys, like, where are you guys at in terms of maybe different projects you like, or maybe the next like prominent use of NFTs that you see kind of on the horizon here? Yeah.
I'll go first. We're obviously in the gutter cat. I'm sure he's told you. I mean, I think we're the most bullish on that project, because we were kind of day one, and, you know, they've got some tricks up their sleeve coming.
Clones are dropping today at 420.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So, but I think that also the space of the artists, like artists that do work, and I think that's kind of my favorite thing that I'm starting to learn about the space. We've interviewed a couple artists, and, you know, them being able to monetize and have ownership of their stuff and get, you know, the residual kind of earnings of people selling their stuff, I think is the most exciting for me, because, you know, artists kind of have a hard time, you know, getting their stuff out and getting money and making money. So I think for me, the artist aspect of NFTs is going to be the next thing to boom. We had a guy in here from St. Pete, actually, and me and him just buying all this stuff, bro. It's super cheap, and we think like it's gonna blow up. So like, you know, that's kind of my kind of view on maybe what's kind of gonna develop next. You know what I mean? And the artists that we've interviewed, they're not about the money. They really don't care about anything else. And we've even tried to get some artists, but hey, you should be at Discord. You should start. They're like, nah, I'm just going to put it out there and let it go. And so I think that's the next kind of wave, man. Artists kind of putting their stuff on the internet and getting NFTs and you know, having that type of thing going. So
I'm going to take it a completely different direction.
For sure.
And in the short term for this year, I think the biggest thing that we're going to see in the NFT space is going to be NFT gaming. So a lot of these play to earn games, you know, we got the Sandbox Alpha 2 coming out, I believe this week, either this week or next week. Mm-hmm. Addition to that, you know, Decentraland's been around for a while, but, you know, NFT Worlds is a big NFT project that was, actually a free mint that went up to like a 20 ETH floor, currently sitting at like a 9-10 ETH floor. And, you know, basically, they have allowed for developers to basically host, you know, Minecraft servers on these worlds. So essentially, like, people are earning money by just playing Minecraft servers on these NFT worlds. So just the fact that, you know, video games are huge and they always have been, especially for, you know, middle school, high school kids. And if you have the opportunity to earn, you know, real world, you know, money or real world value in this, you know, virtual world. I think that is, going to be the biggest thing in the near term. And then looking at like kind of the more long term, I think tickets mm-hmm. is going to be the next huge thing that every, you know, even the Miami Heat, for example, every ticket will be an NFT because they will essentially eliminate, the resale market. They'll eliminate, you know, StubHub, Ticketmaster, you know, all those unless they, you know, adapt and integrate NFTs. And by also cutting out the middleman, and having it secured by blockchain technology, you take away a lot of the risk for fraud. Yeah. So in addition to tickets, I think real estate sales will also be secured on the blockchain, but
nah.
I won't bore you with all the.
Tampa did the Tampa had the first NFT real estate still ever here.
I saw that.
Yeah, it was a party.
It's pretty dope. You know, Maj, I definitely agree with the ticket thing. I think that one is like makes as much sense as any in terms of like we already when we go to or people when they go to a big sporting event, Super Bowl, whatever, you hold on to the ticket, right? So like it makes sense. And I think this year at the Super Bowl they gave out NFTs as well. And John, actually, funny story for you about a NFT artist. So last year, maybe this was like not 2 years ago. I think it is maybe not 2 years ago. It was like right at the start of the pandemic, I want to say. And I had never even heard what an NFT was. And through a mutual friend, I got connected with this guy, Micah Johnson, who was a former MLB player and a super talented artist. And, you know, he had done his thing opening different galleries and doing this and that. And he was just like kind of starting to move into the NFT space. And I got connected with him and he wanted to work on a project with an athlete. And at the time I was just like, honestly, it was a bad move on my part, but I was just like, you know what? I don't really know what this is. I don't really know what it's about. Like, you know, it's a lot of stuff coming at you that you don't really fully understand. And, you know, John, I'm sure you've been briefed on like all the different people that are trying to get in your pockets and trying to gain access. And it's like, you know, you kind of got to be selective about who you let into your circle. And we did a couple calls and Micah was the man, like awesome, awesome dude. And he was just in the beginning of working on this project called Aku Dreams. And since he's like completely blown up, gone crazy. And I've texted him a few times. I'm just like, you know what, man? Like, I'm super happy for you. Like, I can't believe I, you know, it's like I had the opportunity to be in on it early, whatever. And he wanted to do something with me separate of Aku, like, but just kind of like do something like, you know, some sort of like individualized project. And I stayed away from it. And, he's now like gone on, you know, he was successful beforehand, like selling his physical art, but the NFT space has completely transformed his entire career. And it's been crazy to just kind of watch just having a little bit of perspective of like kind of knowing who he is and what he's about.
Yeah, it's tough because like as athletes, we have so many people coming to us. You know, I was the same way with NFTs. Like, I've heard of it. Like, anyways, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'll listen to you, but anyways type thing. When, you know, I should have maybe turned my ear to it a little more. And, you know, that's kind of my example, you know, with the artists. I mean, the best projects are involved with the more popular artists, right? And you know, even the labs and stuff that create these, you know, projects, like right. The art is what people like, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like Invisible Friends, like, you know, the art was dope, right? Like, you know, and so, you know, I think that's kind of, you know, where it's headed as well for artists, man, kind of being able to become almost like superstars, right?
Oh, in the world. For sure.
So it's funny to your point about, you know, people trying to, you know, get in athletes' pockets. I would say you must have been super skeptical when I came up to you at the concert talking NFTs.
No, but you know, you weren't talking about buying. You were just like, yo, I like NFTs. And like, it was just such by fate that I was like, bro, I literally created all these accounts and like, I'm trying to figure out what to do. Like you said, like, I'm sitting back and I'm just watching. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, obviously when you onboarded me at the Starbucks, man, that was almost, what we say, life changing, right? We kind of, you know, got to know each other.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
Here we are, bro, you know?
I'll say I am still patiently waiting for Duncan to, you know, let me guide him in the
evening. I know. I'm not ready to give up the reins just yet. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still a little stubborn about, like, doing my research and all that sort of stuff. We've gotten close a few times. And I'm like, yo, you know what, man? I'm in. Let's do it. But I will say this about Max. Like, you know, Max and I go back a long ways. And I've known Max for a while. A hard worker, always, like, had his priorities straight, all that sort of stuff. But I've never in my life seen him dedicate himself to a craft the way that he's dedicated himself to, like, understanding this space and just getting to know every single in and out of it. Because that's, like, one of the things that I realized early on and always just felt early on is, like, if you're stepping into any sort of interaction, whether it be, you know, an online transaction, a business meeting, whatever it is, if you're, like, significantly less knowledgeable on the subject, then you're at a severe disadvantage. And, like, that was always one of my big concerns was, like, how am I supposed to step in these rooms and make knowledgeable decisions if my counterpart that I'm dealing with knows so much more about the space than I do? So, I mean, having Max as, like, a resource has been super valuable, obviously, to me, but it sounds like to you as well, John.
For sure. I mean, I always tease, man, like, people call me about asking about things and I give them like the surface level, the non-degen answers and advice. And then, you know, I'll ask him sometimes and like even when people call him, I'm like, bro, you should just start a consultant, like NFT consultant firm. And you know what I mean? Because people call him every day. I mean, they call me, so I know they call him.
Oh, so we might got something in the works.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So I always tease, but he knows his stuff, man. You know, so you know, it's dope having him as a resource for sure.
I was gonna say, it's funny, you know, I went from, you know, no longer working, you know, like a traditional 9-to-5, because, you know, I just didn't love the, you know, material I was learning. And, you know, now that I'm doing what I love, you know, John knows as well as anybody, like, basically, like, you know, staying up half the night, but wouldn't trade it for anything, you know?
I call Dre sometimes. I say, Dre, who's the producer? I say, Dre, man, tell Max to go to sleep, bro. Get some rest.
I say, I'm texting the Blockchain Boys group chat at 4 a.m.
It's like 4 a.m. It's like everything's low. I'm like, bro, just chill it, man. Just get a little sleep.
So you still got to get your 8 hours, man. Come on. Quality of life. Health is wealth.
Hey, I'm getting them, man. I'm getting them, man. You know, it's a little weird schedule, but we're getting them in.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I was just going to say, like, that's,
no, go ahead.
For me, like, that's been one of the trickiest parts about this whole space is that because it's so new and not, like, regulated in terms of, like, you don't really know what's what, or you don't know what necessarily what you're looking at unless you really take the time to do your due diligence. It's hard to find people in the space that are actual, like, genuine in your corner trying, you know what I mean? Like, cause there's so many in life, there's so many people with agendas and maybe that's just like kind of my pessimistic approach that I now have as an athlete because I've like kind of lived in it. But like, it is truly unique to find somebody that's like really just out there, loves the projects, loves the creators, loves what it's about and just like eager to grow and also like share their knowledge and share their information.
Sure.
Oh, 100%. And I mean, dude, I mean, the networking through this entire, you know, Web3 journey has been, you know, unbelievable. You know, so Gutter had a space last night. I know we always talk about Gutter, but, you know, so they did a partnership with Puma and, you know, announced last night in the space that myself and my buddy Brandon Foreman are going to be the co-GMs for a Guttercat TBT team with our Let's star go. Athlete right here next to me.
I'm committed. You know, if we get the right team, man, I'm not. You know, I'm gonna make sure we got the right team, man. Or I'm gonna sit on the bench coaching my damn self.
We're in the work. We got a squad.
No, that's awesome,
Dunk. I know you got a. Yeah, no. So you know, Gutter will have the presence on you know ESPN national TV, and they also teased that they signed. I think they said they signed somebody who's going to get drafted this year.
Really? As like an agency?
Yeah. No, like the Gutter signed them as like a marketing partnership deal.
Damn, so like everything off the court marketing and like all the branding stuff. Damn.
Yeah. So, you know, I feel like we're going to kind of see some more project kind of, you know, getting involved like that. So, you know, Dunk, I know I'm being, you know, cautious of your time. I know you probably got to, you know, run here soon. Got, you know, a bigger interview on like, you know, First Take or like, you know.
I'll say like, you know, being as I played for a while, man, I always say like, you know, during the season, man, time is just so precious. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, I really appreciate you coming on. Harrison was the same way. I was like, look, gotta get him in and out. Like, you know, I know how it goes, man. Like, you might have to go shoot this afternoon. Maybe you got some film. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's always something to do. And I know that Heat culture, bro, they don't play. So, you know, who knows, man? You know, Spo might be at your door right now. Like, yo, Duncan.
We do have one question, though. We asked this question to everyone, and I'm interested to see your answer on this. So what is the one thing that makes you the most excited about the future of Web3?
That's a great question.
Web3 is just like NFTs.
Come on, don't do that. Don't do that. That's disrespectful. You got to have me on the blockchain boys and explain Web3. Come on, man. This is a broad answer, but I mean it wholeheartedly. I think just continuing to see the development and utility, because I think right now there are so many naysayers of like, all right, well, like that's cool. It's basically just an image on a screen. It's this or that. Like there are so many people that are able to delegitimize the space because of a perceived lack of utility. And what I'm most excited about is to see the utility get to a point where it can no longer be denied. And I think the people that are actually ingrained in living in the space understand that there's already utility. But there are enough people out there where it's still explainable to be like, you know what? I don't really get it. And it doesn't really make sense. Why somebody would spend X amount of dollars on a JPEG, you know, like whatever the running joke, but like, I wholeheartedly believe, and we were, you know, you guys were referring to it earlier, but like, I just think it's going to get to a point where it's going to be so integrated in the day to day that you're not going to have a choice of whether you can opt in or out. Like it's just going to be a part of your life the same way, you know, everybody now has an iPhone or whatever. Like it's just going to become,
social media, StubHubs, like the little tickets, you got to go StubHub.
It'll no longer be like that, oh, do you have Instagram or Twitter? It's like, what is your Instagram or Twitter? It's like, it's going to, I think eventually it'll get to a point, where it'll shift of like exactly the same, like everybody will have a purpose for NFTs, in their day to day. And that's the point that I'm excited to get to, because I think it'll be like, you know, for the people that have been in this space and you guys have been in like before I have, but it'll be definitely a moment of like, told you so, you know, for people that have been around a while. So that's what I'm excited for sure.
That was a beautiful answer.
That was great.
I'm impressed.
So essentially, we're going to be like 10 years from now, yo, what's your ENS name? Like, if you have an ENS name, right? All right. That's good.
No, that's a fact. Dude, fantastic interview. Thanks, it was so fun having you come on. you know, I'm sure we'll be seeing you in the near future. For you know, sure, he's in Miami sure. every weekend. I'm gonna have to weekend. Join him.
And, at some point, you know, at some slide, point, we got to do like an in-person cross promo collab sort of thing. Just because,
for sure.
Obviously, you know, Riverside and Zoom make it possible to do it, but the content and interactions are always better, you know, when you're able to sit down and chop it up. So hopefully we can get to that.
And sure. I was going to say, we definitely need to get Dave for sure. in conversation too, because
he doesn't really know anything about Web3 or NFTs, but nonetheless, he's a great presence to have around.
Hey, he knows where to go.
We'll give him a note card.
Exactly. Well, thanks for coming on, Dunk. As always, go follow Dunk's podcast, the Long Shot podcast presented by
Blue Wire. And buy some Devo coin. Yeah. Or don't buy it. I'm giving it out for free. Get some. Secure some.
And buy some Devo coin or just, you know, slide in Duncan's DMs and ask him.
Check out my Twitter. It's a very easy step-by-step process of how you can secure some for free, free of charge. So definitely check that out if you want to. If you don't, you know what? It's all good too. But
Appreciate that. 100%. And we'll retweet, you know, from our accounts, you know, we'll that tweet and, you know, let people know how to get access to that. You know, go like and subscribe. Blockchain Boys on all podcast platforms, everything. YouTube, all that good stuff.
TikTok.
And go check out Long Shot. Hopefully, hint, hint, we'll be
for
on.
Sure. For sure. Sense. All right, guys. Appreciate you having me.